a work of the Holy Ghost. Sanctification means that you might miss it on the way to development. Now, you got to call on that same Jesus because the blood is still flowing. You got to get the grace of God in your life. You got to be willing to let God cleanse you. You can't do it yourself. You need to drop back in the arms of Jesus and say, wait a minute, I need your grace. All you got to do is believe this. Abraham believed God. In your mind, you're trying to figure out how God is going to do this. It's looking for an analytical process that it can hang on to so it can calibrate your life. What you need to do is let that go, because now it's time for the supernatural. You got to let go of religion. Ain't nothing in it. Got to let it go. Jesus came to that fig tree, and even though it had leaves on it, wasn't no fruit. Religion don't have no fruit. You can tell when you're in religion because you're the same place this year as you were last year. You got a hold of something. We're going to get it off you, though. That's why you came in here. Religion is self-serving, not serving others. It's all for me. Even when I compliment you, it's to make me feel good. Can I talk about it like it is? I remember the time when they had it in the church, and I had gotten saved, and I went up there ever to that Baptist church, and I came in service that night. They said, tonight, we're going to have a foot washing. I turned to the person who was with me. I said, what is that? They said, that's when they're going to pick you to wash somebody else's feet. I said, what time are we going? What time are we out of here? Folks, God is my witness. I didn't even stay around. I left. I said, I ain't going to wash nobody's stinking feet. I said, something might be on their feet. I don't want it to get on me. You see, I wasn't up to serve them. I was up to serve me. But I wasn't yet sanctified. Oh, I was saved, but not yet sanctified. That God had a work he still had to do in me. Now I'll wash any man's feet. Doesn't make any difference who it is. But religion is extremely self-serving. That's why it's in business. It's in business to make it look good. Whoever that spirit religion is on, they're out to show you something about them. Religion has no thirst for truth. God says he pours water on ground that's what? Thirsty. Sometimes you ask, how could people treat people like that and they're supposed to be saved? Because they've lost their thirst for truth. They can't get revelation. It's being blocked by self-servingness. Religion is one-dimensional. What do I mean by that? I mean, when people come to church, they put a cigarette out. Come on, don't shout me down because I'm preaching good. Now, wait a minute. If you got a nicotine habit, you're in the right place. We're going to get rid of it. See that? Don't condemn yourself about it. Just admit that's you and you need to get deliverance. Say amen to this. But what they do, you know, they'll fuss and cuss their wife all the way to the church, you know, to the parking lot. Then they come in and act sanctified. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I'll see you right after church. Hey, praise the Lord. That's religion, folks. It's one-dimensional. It's inside these four walls. That's where I act nice. But back out there, I'm as mean as a rattlesnake again. You got religion. And that's religion will kill folk. It's the same stuff that this group would burn a cross in people's yard. It kills folks. You saved, but now we got to get you sanctified. It's a work of the Holy Ghost. He comes in you. When you step too far to this side or that side, he convicts you. Are you following what I'm saying? And there ain't nothing wrong with being convicted. Say amen to this. Folks, God has plans for you, but he knows that he give you all that gold while you still got all that other stuff in you. He'll build some kind of a monument that will lead you right away from him. So he's got to clean you out. How many of you don't mind being cleaned out? It's not a bad thing. See, if you got a habit, you came to the right place. Say amen to that. If you, I'm not going to send you to an anger management class. I'm going to send you to the altar. Because I have the knowledge of God. Say amen to that. I can get that anger demon out you. I know. One came out of me. I mean, I used to be a mad young man. The thing about it, I was short. I said I was. But oh yeah, God had to teach me some things. But what am I saying? I'm saying now, those religious spirits, we got to get rid of them. Because they really are in that category called unbelief. And God calls it, watch what he calls it, an evil heart of unbelief. Man, he tells you to resist evil. You remember the man that Jesus got? And the man asked to be healed. He was blind. And Jesus didn't heal him where he was. He took him out of town and then prayed for him to be healed. Why couldn't he pray for him in town? Because of unbelief. Unbelief is a spirit, and it's designed to block the supernatural of God. See, the devil knows if you don't demonstrate the supernatural somewhere in your life, they got to see a difference between you and them. The enemy doesn't want that. He had to take him out of town. And I tell you, saints, you got a whole church full of unbelief, it's hard to get miracles. But if we can get them religious spirits out of here, miracles will flow like water. Now, what am I saying? Not so somebody can lift themselves up in pride, but so when you bring your cousin who's had a habit for 25 years, or you bring your sister who has been diagnosed and now submitted to hospice care, you can bring them and they be healed. Man, that's what you want. All right, let's go to the last place. Are you with me so far? Yes. Jesus could do no mighty works in his own hometown because of unbelief. And it's contagious, folks. It'll try to get off on you and you're not even realize it. But it's like sitting by a skunk. But it's like, you know, it's you can smell it. Yeah. No, let's go on. Let's go to John chapter 6. We'll be finished. Are y'all mad at me for preaching this? No. See, if you want to be strong, I got to give you a strong word, man. I can't give you no weak word and expect you to be strong. Remember, religion has no thirst for truth. None. All it wants to do is come sing a couple of songs, stamp their past, and going out. Well, I went down there just today. Praise God. What did the pastor preach about? Well, I don't know. It's pretty good, though. Praise God. He pretty good. You know, he's getting pretty good. That's not the idea. The idea is that you have an encounter with God. See, the supernatural we don't consider. That's why a lot of people, I think, they still haven't gotten that marriage thing together. Because they're still trying to solve a problem that the devil caused. They're trying to solve it naturally. They're trying to go to enough counselors. You know, but you can have one encounter. And he worked a supernatural. God, let's say the man is a problem. Let's say he's a problem. I'm just taking the hypothetical. If he's a problem and he's mean or whatever have you, you can pray. God will come to him in a dream. Watch this. And tell him like he told Abimelech, if you don't treat your wife right, you're but a dead man. Oh, Jesus. I mean, God Now, I'm not saying he'd do that, but he did that to Abimelech, mistreating somebody. Yeah, he was on his way. But my point to you is, I remember the lady. I said, listen, she said, yeah, I want my husband back. I said, is he gone with somebody else? Yes, he is. I said, okay, you want him back now? She said, yes, I want him back. I said, okay, you sure you want him back? Yeah, I want him back. I said, okay, how you want him back? She said, well, I want him back. I said, how about if he comes back with flowers? She said, flowers? I said, yeah, with some flowers in his hand, begging your pardon and so forth and so on. She said, okay, all right, we prayed. Not that he'll come back, but he'll come back the way we want him to come back. Come on now, I'm saying, see, the supernatural don't limit God. See, it doesn't. Folks, it said God first preached the gospel to who? Abraham. How did he preach it to him? He didn't have no Bible. Amen. He preached it to him through the stars. The stars tell the story. It starts with the virgin, Virgo. It tells the story all the way to Leto. The lion in Revelations. The astrology, folks, this reading of the star, this astrology thing and all this stuff jumped in with man. The devil's trying to use that. But the Bible tells you the stories in the stars. Folks, this is all supernatural. Say amen to that. We, you know, that thing has degenerated to, hey, what sign you? Well, I'm the cross. What are you? And the cross is in the stars. It's all in there. This thing is so powerful, folks. All right. Where do I have you now? What did I say? Where?
John 6.
John 6. All right. Let me just finish that. Are y'all all right with this? See, I'm going to give you some. See, my people are destroyed. Why? Not lack of money. Not lack of opportunity. Lack of knowledge. It's a knowledge of God that we've got. Orion. The Job talks about. Boy, that book of Job is deep. It talks about the stars. So powerful, they tell a whole story. The gospel is preached. Come outside and look at the stars.
Glory to God.
This is powerful stuff, folks. But I'm saying you get this knowledge in you and get it in your consciousness. When you walk in a room, devils will part.
Yes, Lord.
He'll part. Because they know you know.
Yes, Lord.
You know. Now, I know some people don't like to hear good news. And how can you tell it's good news? Because over in Acts chapter 13, it says, I'm going to tell you some stuff you won't believe. That's when you know it's good news. I think the news from God is so good that it's hard to believe. Can God be that good and forgive me of all of that? Yes, He can. Say, yes, He can. Now, in John chapter 6, you know it starts off with Jesus feeding 5,000. Look what it says here in verse 1. In these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee into the Sea of Tiberias. And a great multitude followed him because they saw what? His miracles, which he did on them that were diseased. All right? So he worked his miracle and fed all the people with 2 fish and 5 loaves of bread. Verse 15. When Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force, to make him a king, he departed again into a mountain himself alone. And when evening was now come, his disciples went down unto the sea and entered into a ship and went over the sea toward Capernaum. And it was now dark, and Jesus was not come to them. Say dark. All right, so this was at night. Verse 18. And the sea arose by reason of a great wind, and it blew. So here comes a great wind now. So when they had rowed about 25 or 30 furlongs, that's about 3 or 4 miles, put in your Bible, they see Jesus walking on the sea, and drawing nigh into the ship, and they were afraid. Now here's Jesus walking supernaturally. But he said unto them, "It is I, be not afraid." Then they willingly received him into the ship, and immediately the ship was at the land whither they went. Underline immediately. The day following, when the people which stood on the other side of the sea saw that there was none other boat there save that one whereunto his people were entered, and that Jesus went not with his people unto the boat, but that his disciples were gone away alone. Howbeit, there came other boats from Tiberias nigh unto the place where they did eat bread. After that, the Lord had given thanks. When the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, neither his disciples, they also took shipping and came to Capernaum seeking for Jesus. And when they had found him on the other side of the sea, they said unto him, "Rabbi, when camest thou hither?" Lord have mercy. All right, let's see if we work this right quick. 2 minutes. Now, this teaching right there that I just read was where Jesus had them to go over. But as they rowed at night, can I say paddled, about 4 miles, all of a sudden here comes a wind that was contrary to them, that was keeping them from their destinies. Jesus came to them walking on the sea. First law. Whenever you are in trouble, Jesus comes to you. Now, can you recognize it? Because perhaps he comes in a form that you have to receive him by faith. Lord, have mercy, Jesus. So now they're 20 or 30 furlongs, 3 or 4 miles out. They were afraid. He said, "It is I, be not afraid." Then they willingly received him into the ship, and immediately the ship was at the land whither they went. You have paddled long enough. You have worked and toiled and struggled long enough. Lord, have mercy. Jesus is stepping into your boat. Now, when he stepped into that boat, immediately they were at the other side. Now, this is interesting. Let me make sure you understand this. Because in our natural way of thinking, in our human brain, the way it's designed that we think logically. We think scientifically. We analyze things. The human brain is thinking, well, what's the next step? Now, that's how it works, step by step. It's linear process or progression. It's something that happens one step after another. Now, that's a process. That immediately they were at the other side. So your season of moving inch by inch is over. That before you had to climb the ladder of success. But you're not going to have to do that anymore. One moment they were here, and the next moment they were here. No, you got to get your mind ready now. You got to get your mind ready. I'm saying that no longer is this thing going to be a natural progression for you. that God is taking away all the middle steps involved in getting you from here to there. That this is a new season for you. And notice their destiny. He didn't move them to there. He didn't speed up the boat and get them there. One moment they were here. You got to get it. The next moment they were here. Oh, boy, boy, you got to get this now. I'm saying that one moment you broke. Come on, you got to get me now. The next moment you're a millionaire. Oh, one moment you're sick. Oh, the next moment, no trace of sickness. One moment you're in trouble. The next moment you're free. You know what? God did not bring me into your life to move you one inch. I said, God did not bring me here and give me this subject so you'll move from one step to another. We are through climbing up the ladder. We are through going from one process to another. We're going to be one moment here. The next moment we are here. Now, this is all through the Bible, because now we're dealing with the Jesus of miracles. We're not going to move your business inch by inch. One moment you're going to be here. Come on now. The next moment your business is going to have so many customers you can't even handle them all. Come on now. Come on. All you got to do is believe this. All you got to do is believe. Abraham believed God. I know in your mind, you're trying to figure out how God is going to do this. And that is a problem with your mind, because it's looking for an analytical process that it can hang on to so it can calibrate your life. What you need to do is let that go, because now is time for the supernatural. You see, you were born from the supernatural. This is natural supernaturally. You are supposed to operate here all the time. I'm talking about instantly. I'm talking about immediately. I'm talking about straightway. I'm talking about now. Now, notice I didn't say now. That's got time to it. I said now. Well, praise the Lord. I trust that you enjoy that. Now, that's Living in the Supernatural, Part 2. Now, again, this whole supernatural series is powerful. Now, there's three things I want you to remember about this teaching. One is that unbelief blocks the supernatural. Remember, in Mark chapter 6, Jesus could do no mighty works in his own hometown because of their unbelief. Notice, Jesus, the miracle worker, could do no mighty works. So we got to get our believing up. We got to get back in that word and get faith in God. Secondly, that the supernatural does not limit God. In other words, there are no limits. Once you come in and with God, then all things become possible. So that's what you want. You want people come in a marriage situation, or let's say the financial situation, and they just stop at the natural. No, folks, you got to back off of that. Bring God into the program, because with him, all things become possible. There are no limits with God. The third thing, the supernatural process is immediate. Now, we found that in John chapter 6 when Jesus got in the boat. One moment they were here, the next moment they were there. Now, put that in your life. One moment you don't have any money, praise God, then the next day you do. Something supernatural happened. One moment you're in debt, the next day you're out. One moment you're sick, the next day you're well. I'm talking about the supernatural. These are powerful principles now. We have an announcer. He's going to give you some information, and I'll be right back. You saved. Now we got to get you sanctified. It's all work of the Holy Ghost. Sanctification means that you might miss it on the way to development. Now you got to call on that same Jesus because the blood is still flowing. You got to get the grace of God in your life. You got to be willing to let God cleanse you. You can't do it yourself. You need to drop back in the arms of Jesus and say, wait a minute, I need your grace. All you got to do is believe this. Abraham believed God. In your mind, you're trying to figure out how God is going to do this. It's looking for an analytical process that it can hang on to so it can calibrate your life. What you need to do is let that go, because now is time for the supernatural.
Increase in the knowledge of God that carries the power of God. Today, with Pastor Bill Winston's teaching entitled Living in the Supernatural. To order on CD or DVD, simply write to Bill Winston Ministries, P.O. Box 947, Oak Park, Illinois 60303. By bank card at 1-800-711-9327 or online at billwinston.org. We are saved, sanctified, and fully redeemed to occupy this earth and live supernaturally. This is your season of manifested miracles. Order your copy today of Living in the Supernatural.
Well, like I said, this series of Living in the Supernatural in part two is powerful. This is something you got to get this in your library. Now, we're talking about living in the supernatural. And when you're talking about the supernatural, you got to let go of the analytical. In other words, your mind will try to figure out, well, now, how is God going to do this? You know what he's going to do, but you don't know how he's going to do it. My point to you is when Moses and the children of Israel were in the wilderness, look what happened. God says, I'm going to feed them a whole month. I'm going to feed them meat. Well, how's God going to do that? There's no refrigerators out here, whatever have you. What did God do? God had quail to come in. Now, Moses was trying to figure out, how was God going to do this? And once you do that, sometimes you'll drift into unbelief. The Bible says Abraham just believed God, and God moved on his behalf. So that's all we're asking you to do. Believe the word, and you'll see the supernatural. Well, this is Bill Winston saying that's all we have for this time. We'll see you next time. Until then, keep walking by faith.
The mission of Bill Winston Ministries is to take the uncompromised word of God to the whole world. This broadcast has been made available to you through the faithful support of Bill Winston Ministry partners and friends. We invite you to become a partner and join Dr. Bill Winston as he trains believers how to live independently and have dominion to reign over this world system. Connect with us online at billwinston.org. Thank you, Bill Winston Ministries partners and viewers, for your continuous support of the Believer's Walk of Faith broadcast.